Welcome to the Persuasion Pitch Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, licensed esthetician, makeup artist, and anti-MLM advocate.
I understand everyone's spiritual journey is personal and unique to them. These episodes reflect the experiences and opinions of guests. They do not reflect my personal beliefs. They are not meant as a critique or judgment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to part two of speaking to Max, who was part of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So let's go ahead and get into it. Where we left off was I was talking about how I remember passing a Kingdom Hall whenever I was younger in my town. So let's get into it.
The only thing I really know, I do know some things about this. One, okay, so I do know that they knock door to door, and one woman in particular, she goes over to my nanny, like I call her my nanny, like she was my babysitter from like I was 2 years old, and she's been in our life ever since, and she goes over there like constantly, like she never fails, like she shows up like once a week over there. I was over there one time not long ago actually, and this was after I watched the episode of Cults and Extreme Beliefs. I think it was episode 2.
All right, you guys, so I have been mentioning this new true crime podcast. It's called Clark After Dark, a true crime podcast, and it is hosted by husband and wife. I absolutely love that, by the way. It's hosted by Teresa and Alan Clark, and in this podcast, of course, it's true crime, but they focus on like the deadliest couples, and I just think that it's amazing because I always watch killer couples on, I'm sure if it's Lifetime or anyway, but I think that everyone needs to go ahead, go into your podcast, look it up, and subscribe to it.
And I don't know why I did not think about it then, but so she was trying to show us a video, and as the video was going, I was trying not to be rude, but like I started tapping her screen on her iPad to see how much longer we had left. I was like, yeah, so we're not going to join. So, okay, bye. Like, we're done. And my nanny was like, oh my gosh, don't be so mean. You're so rude. You kept tapping her screen. Like, after she left, I'm like, well, like, we're not going to join it. So she can, like, go to someone else now. So, all right. So is your parents, are they involved? Like, are they Jehovah's Witness? Is that what we say? Like, are they Jehovah's Witness? Is that like what they call themselves?
Yeah, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses.
Jehovah's Witnesses. Are they Jehovah's Witnesses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both my parents are. Yeah, they weren't born in though. Okay. I don't know the exact times, like, exact age, but my dad was around his, I want to say, mid to late 20s, and my mom was like, I want to say late teenage, early 20s.
Okay, wow. Do you know what made them decide to go over? Like, did someone knock on their door, or?
So for my dad, so he grew up in the Dominican Republic and moved to the USA. Specifically South Bronx, New York, when he was 11, I want to say, or 14, he was like 11 or 14, and it was through his mom. I don't know how she found it, through somebody preaching to her.
Yeah.
And my mom found it through my dad, actually.
Right. You know, I do know a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses. One girl who, I'm in the film industry, so I'm a makeup artist and I do a lot of films, and I'm telling you, she's like the sweetest woman. Like, she's so nice. Like, she's so sweet. I don't have one negative thing to say about her. And the other one, he is a teacher, and he actually like just quit. But during Halloween time, like they have where like people go around to different classrooms and they're like, you've been booed, and they leave like Halloween candy and stuff, and then like you take that and you're like, you like go boo someone else like you've been booed. But I remember specifically them passing up his classroom because he doesn't celebrate Halloween or Christmas or birthdays or anything like that. But the nicest guy, mm-hmm. like seriously, like the nicest guy. But then like I started to like dig more into this, and it was like, you know, they don't like people to have or at least women to get educated, like to be more like educated. Am I wrong about that? Or
no, you're definitely not wrong about that. It's for both men and women. They strongly discourage higher education. So once you're out of high school, it's like, so the whole reasoning behind it is you shouldn't be striving for a position in the world, roughly that. You should be trying to pretty much, so man, it's really hard to like talk about this stuff because there's so much to it. Like if I, right. like I can easily rattle it off, mm-hmm. since there's so many different
things
and things. Yeah, it's so deep that feel like what I say isn't gonna make sense. But yeah, they discourage, the short of it is they discourage higher education because what you should be doing is trying to be what they call an auxiliary pioneer or just pioneer, mm-hmm. or
recruiting for the church.
Yeah, like right? going out in service and pretty much
right.
For the sake of not defining every little thing for 15 minutes.
We could do a two-parter. It's up to you.
Yes, I mean it's whatever. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But, what do you call it? What was I gonna say? Yeah, the whole point is you're striving to be a Jehovah's Witness and do as much as you can in the Jehovah's Witness organization, mm-hmm. rather than pursue a higher education and go to college. And on top of that, when you go to college, now you have what they call worldly associations. So now you're associating with worldly people, which a worldly person is not a Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
And you're not allowed to, it's not that you're not allowed to, but it's frowned upon and right. suggested against, you know, the power of suggestion. Don't associate with worldly people and stuff like that. So it's like, if you were to have higher education, everyone would look down on you for that. You wouldn't be looked at the same way. You wouldn't be everybody would look at you, you know, with like a
like, oh my gosh, how dare them.
Yeah.
Like they're not following what's right, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically that, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the girl, like I've been to a lot of red carpet events, and she, you know, the girl I told you about that's in the industry with me, like she's attended a red carpet event with me. So I was like, you know, like how? I don't know, unless they just don't know about it. I don't know if like they like believe in getting on social media. I don't know about that, but
you can have social media. Like as a Jehovah's Witness, you can have social media. There's plenty of them on social media.
Okay.
If you just look up the hashtag JW, it'll be tons of them. You'll probably find a lot of XJWs too.
But yeah,
you'll find a lot of JWs also.
Right. I did hear about, and you can tell me if this is true or not, but I did hear someone say that, like, if, like, you know how newspapers come out and they have the obituaries in them, that they would look for, like, obituaries of people, and then they would find out who the family was. And then they would send them like a sympathy card or something like that. And that was kind of their way to, I don't know, to like talk to them about, you know, being a Jehovah's Witness. Have you heard that?
That I haven't heard of. Is that something newer by any chance?
I don't know. That's just something I heard recently.
It might be, because I don't know how they're doing any of their preaching work now with the whole COVID thing going on.
Right.
So it might be. I haven't paid too much attention to what they've been
doing lately. Late.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you left a while back, right?
Yeah. It's relatively recent. Relatively, that is 2017.
The
very end of 2017. So it like just reached, well, just past 4 years. So a little over 4 years.
But it feels recent to you, and I feel like that because you were with that, so, you know, with that, I guess, say religion. You were a Jehovah's Witness for so long that, that, you know, 4 years is like nothing compared to your whole lifetime of this is all you knew. You know, and this is what you're used to. So I think that it feels so new still. And I completely understand that. And I think that that's normal. Mm-hmm. Because I have been investigating and looking into cults, commercial cults, just cults in general for a very, very long time, even before I became an anti-MLM advocate and, you know, advocating for people who are in cults. I, you know, like even when I remember when I was like 18, I remember telling my mom like something seemed like a cult. So it's like I always had like, I don't know why, but like I always have seen like red flags with things, and things like certain things looked like cults to me. But now investigating it more and knowing that these are victims, and, you know, it's all about behavior control and information control, thought control, emotional control. And that's what the BITE model stands for.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you've looked into Stephen Hassan's BITE model, but he's a cult expert. And
yeah, I have actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So looking at it from a different lens, I guess you would say, I look at things completely different. So if there's anything you don't feel comfortable talking about, then feel free to tell me to shut up. And like, okay, that's not your business.
No, it's all good. I'm very, very open. And
yeah.
I mean, it's like if you're gonna talk about something like this, and this is just my opinion, might as well be as open as possible.
So right.
You can get as much information as possible.
Right. Know? Exactly. Yeah. And so I saw, you know, I'm gonna be honest, I did not get through every single YouTube video, but I did watch a lot of it. And yes, it definitely does go deep. And we, I think you said you're ADD. I'm also ADD. So we definitely have that in common. And I do get sidetracked easy. So I did catch that part of it, because I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I can understand that. I can relate to that. That is for sure. But going back to your parents. All right. So I do know that certain religious organizations, they shun you. Like they would be like, okay, you did something bad or whatever, like no one needs to talk to this person. And that, them doing that is, it is a type of, you know, like using that as a punishment is like, there's so many red flags with that. It's, you know, manipulation. I don't know. There's so many red flags with that.
Oh, yeah.
When did you decide, or what do you, let's go back. So, all right, you grew up in this, and so this is all you knew. What was that moment where you kind of started to question things? Or how did you even, like, what did you look up to even, or what did you stumble across?
So you're talking about when it comes to questioning things, like, what was the moment? Are you talking about, like, what was, like...
When you were a Jehovah's Witness, what was... Did you, like, come across, like, a YouTube video or... something on TV, or did you read something where you kind of felt like, you know, maybe this is not for me? I didn't really look at it the way that I'm looking at it now. Right. Like, was there like an aha moment, or did it kind of gradually grow over time?
I would say it was definitely very, very gradual, because I've always questioned things. I've always had questions about literally everything. Mm-hmm. That's just how I've always been. And if something doesn't make sense or something doesn't sit right, I'm going to question it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been the whole process, like, through my life, has been like, why this, why that? I want to know why and how, and just always been a very curious person. Right. So when I was learning the teachings, it's like, so for example, because if when something didn't make sense to me, I'll just use music as an example, because it's an easy example for me to use, because I love music and I'm a musician. Mm-hmm. So, and I especially love metal music, so, and they especially don't like metal music. So to hear metal music so talked down upon and frowned upon, I was like, well, why though? Like, why can't I listen to this music? Because what they're saying is just wrong. If this is the truth, like, that doesn't make sense, because literally everything they're saying about it is wrong. And I mean, I can understand where the stereotype comes from, where it's like demonic, satanic, and this and that. Mm-hmm. But as a listener, as somebody who knows the music, you just know it's just wrong. So a situation like that, I would question it, like, well, if they're supposed to be so non-judgmental and so understanding and so smart, considering you're gonna make such a profound statement as, we have the truth, there's literally nothing else out there that is as true as this, or that is of any, that doesn't have the significance of this, like, this grants you everlasting life, like, this is so, but then at the same time, it's like, the logic is so flawed. So right. something like that never sat right with me, where it's like, well, why can't I listen to the music? I enjoy it, and I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
So it's like, imagine a bunch of those, like, a bunch of situations like that, mm-hmm. where that's kind of the gradual process of constantly questioning things that either don't make sense or don't sit right with me, or are just logically flawed, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been my whole thing growing up, where it's like, because I say in my videos a lot of things don't make sense, didn't really make sense to me, and I always kind of question things because of things like that.
Right.
Rules, regulations, whatever, where it's like, it's very black and white, and there's no other way around it. I guess you could say that aha moment was when, so I saw, we've always been warned not to ever look at ex-Jehovah's Witness videos, which are called apostate, or not even just videos, just literature, or talk to somebody who's an ex-Jehovah's Witness, and you're just, that's just something you don't do. That's like one of the worst things you can do. So, I was with my family, like my full family, like my mom and dad and sister and cousins, aunt, uncle, whatever, and we were on vacation, and I was trying to find some fight that had happened in my old high school, because it was like a crazy thing that happened, and it was like blowing up for whatever reason. So I was trying to find it, and I went to Walk Hill, and Walk Hill Bethel was a very, it used to be the world headquarters, so, of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I remember typing it on YouTube, and then Walk Hill Bethel, like, you know, I was like, oh, that's so weird that that's in the, recommended. That's so weird. And then I clicked on it, and then I saw it was like extra Jehovah's Witness videos, and I was like, that thing happened to me where it's like, oh, this is something you're not supposed to do. That feeling, that whatever that's called, that nervousness, that weird fight or flight response, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That happened, and I was like, but at the same time, it really like piqued my interest, so I like saved it for later. Long story short, just after watching a lot of videos, it was kind of like things started clicking in my head, because it's like, okay, I'm not the only one with all these things that don't make sense and this and that. And
right.
Yeah.
All these questions.
Yeah, all these questions. And yeah, that was, I guess you could say that was the aha moment of like, oh, okay, like I'm not the only one that thinks this. And you're also told that all these people are lying. They're all liars. Not one of them is telling the truth. They're there to deceive you. They're working for Satan. It's the work of demons and this and that. But it's like, when you actually make the effort and listen to them, you know it's not this crazy talk that they're talking about, because they're talking about the same experiences you've personally gone through. So you know for a fact they're not lying. And because, you know, how could somebody lie about, especially the Jehovah's Witnesses, because you know, you would have to be in it to know the lingo, the lifestyle, the everything. So it's like, you know for sure.
But yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad that you did see those red flags. And now, you know, now you're out. So I do have a lot to unpack here. So I want to touch on a number of things. So the first thing I want to talk about is the big database, that, okay. So, all right, let me just slow down. All right, so there is a secret database, allegedly. There is. Of thousands of Jehovah's Witness child sex offenders, and it has been assembled by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, is what I read. When did you have any idea that something like this was going on?
No, I had absolutely no idea until I started watching extra Jehovah's videos.
Yeah.
And, especially then in 2017, because it was like, it hadn't been resolved yet. And I think it was to be resolved in early 2018, I think. And I didn't know it had been going on for like a year or two.
Yeah.
I had no idea about it. Like, nobody really knows about it. Like, no Jehovah's Witness has any idea about it.
Right.
And, yeah, I had absolutely no idea about it until I started watching the videos. And it was so, like, you don't even want to believe, because you're like, what? Like, there's no way. There's no possible way that that's really happening. Like, and the fact that we don't know about this, like, how do we not know about this?
Yeah.
And then
it's so sad.
Further and further. Yeah, it's horrible.
It's absolutely, yeah. I cannot even imagine the people who were, you know, victims of sexual assault. And I did see one woman in the Cults and Extreme Beliefs. When she finally told someone, she went to the elders, because they call people, the men in the church that have been there a while, I guess they call them the elders. And she was looking.
Elders are, so just to be specific on that, the elders there, that's a position you have.
Okay.
So you, they're pretty much like, I guess you could say they're overseers of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a position you have to work towards.
Okay. Yeah. She went to these people for, you know, like she thought it was a safe place to say, you know, hey, I have been, you know, being sexually assaulted for years. And they like slammed, like one of them slammed their fist down on the counter. And they're like, you are a liar. Like, why would you lie like that? This never happened. And it did indeed happen. I mean, it's just so sad for these people, especially for individuals who have to still live with their parents because they're children, or, you know, they frown upon education. So but they think you should be out there like going door to door. So, and I'm assuming that's not a paid position. So
definitely not.
So even though this organization has a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
A ton of money. Someone told me like into the billions. I would have to make sure of that, but
I heard the same. It's like they're a $1 billion corporation.
Right. And
along those lines.
Yeah. And so I think that is another way to control people, because if they don't have an education to fall back on, and if they don't have a job to fall back on, then how are they going to have any money to leave, you know, their parents' home and, you know, and break free from this? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that could be a large factor into it, of why people don't speak up. I don't know.
I could definitely see that, because since you're not, since no one's really out here getting a higher education than the Jehovah's Witnesses, you're kind of just stuck with either getting any job you can really find that works with you going out in service, works with your meeting schedule, and literally anything you do in life has to revolve around anything and everything having to do with being a Jehovah's Witness. So, for example, if you have your midweek meeting, they call it, and it's at night, so it starts at like 7, if I remember correctly, 7 or 7:30. If you have to work late that day, like you can't, like you just have to, you have to, you can't do it. You have to go to your meeting. And that is priorities. Like that's.
Right. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was Armageddon. Like Armageddon is coming. It's coming. It's coming. And it was supposed to come. Let's see. So it was supposed to come a really long time ago, and it did not. Mm-hmm. So, and I think what I have read is it was supposed to come this certain date, rolls around, didn't come. It was supposed to come like another date, rolls around, didn't come. I think it was like 3 different dates or something.
I think it was like 5 different dates.
Okay.
Correctly. Yeah,
5 different dates. So, when you were younger, did they talk about that like all the time?
Yeah, I mean, they always talk about Armageddon and when Armageddon comes, because they talk about it all the time, because after Armageddon, that's when you get your new world. That's when you get what they call the new world, which is everlasting life.
Right.
In a paradise earth where there's no violence, no sickness, no more death, no more pain, sorrow, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something they are very, they're constantly looking forward to. Like, that's the entire reason you're Jehovah's Witnesses, to make it to that new world, to make it there, to live forever in paradise, because that's, you know, Jehovah's promise and whatnot.
Right. So they believe only the people who do right, who, you know, go out there and knock on doors, who, you know, like, straight and narrow, like, those are the people who are going to make it to heaven. And that's,
no, so there's two groups of people, actually. There's the ones who will live forever on earth, and then there's 144,000 that go to heaven. Not everyone goes to heaven.
Wow. So live forever on earth, you said?
Yeah, that's what the new world is.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty much the earth restored to paradise, because it apparently used to be a paradise 6,000 years ago when Adam and Eve were
alive.
And it's supposed to be restored back to that, and you're going to be a perfect human being.
Pretty much
an angel minus the supernatural part. That's what you'll be.
Yeah. So, yeah. So every Christian that I know, they don't believe that. Which is kind of, they're not, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses. But so, all right. But so the whole thing with Jehovah's Witnesses, it's, you know, it originated as a branch of a Bible study, like a Bible student movement. And that was developed in the U.S. And this was long ago, in the 1870s. And it was started by one man, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know if he just wanted people to, like, follow him. Like, did they look at him like he was, like, a prophet of some sorts, or?
I'm not 100% on that. I just, from what I remember, it was the dude, Russell, and he started his little Bible study thing, and it was pretty much what I think it was, or, like, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember everything, but I think it was, so he started this whole thing because he had a lot of weird things that he put in there, like pyramidology, like, he was just kind of all over the place. But from what I remember, he was pretty much just trying to decipher what the scriptures meant in whatever way he was doing.
Yeah.
Which is very kind of similar to what is the Jehovah's Witnesses now.
All right. And then after he died, everything was led by Joseph Rutherford.
Yes.
And so retaining control of the Watchtower and the Watchtower Bible and all of that type of thing. So it was not until 1931 that the name Jehovah's Witnesses was actually adopted. And if you think about it, I mean, yeah, that was a long time ago. That was like, but still, it was less than 100 years ago, you know? So it really wasn't like
a new thing.
Right.
Like, in terms of a religious organization.
Right.
Religious organization.
Yeah. And so why do you guys, or not now, but why were you not allowed to celebrate birthdays, Christmas, any type of holiday? Why were you not allowed to celebrate that?
So,
or what were you told?
When it comes to, like, Christmas, Halloween, Easter, and all those things, you can't celebrate it as a Jehovah's Witness because they have pagan origins. So long ago, Like Christmas in Rome was some whole celebration thing, and it had apparently been debated by Christians even back then whether or not it should be something they celebrate all the way up until I think it was the 1600s where they decided, eh, this is cool, we'll do it. But it has, yeah, because pretty much all those things have pagan origins, and pagans believe in, they're all polytheistic, like they have, they believe in more than one god, and they're nature worshippers and all this stuff. And those are things that the one true God, Jehovah, hates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you can't celebrate something like Christmas, because those are pagan celebrations, pagan holidays, and same thing about Halloween and Easter, because they all have their pagan origins. Birthdays are the weird one, though.
Like I know that Easter, is a pagan holiday, and I know I do know about, the ones that are pagan, but as far as the birthdays go, that is, so that's not a holiday for everyone. It's to celebrate when you were born. So, with Christmas, though, I mean, that's, you're celebrating when Jesus was born. And I feel like it probably has something to do with, taking your attention off of what you're supposed to be doing within the kingdom hall, maybe, and also maybe getting gifts, because that's something materialistic, things. Yeah. I may be completely wrong.
What you're saying is pretty much like how they will, how I would say it is the excuses they make as to why you can't celebrate it. Because I think the real reason is obviously for control reasons.
Right.
Keep you as separate from the rest of the world as possible.
Right.
But they'll give you all these different reasons as to why.
Right. Like with
birthdays, it really makes no sense, because their explanations don't hold any water. It's like, oh, okay, well, these are the reasons why you can't celebrate a birthday, because in the Bible, two people died on a birthday.
Oh my gosh.
Because one was, they called for somebody's head and on their birthday, and I think some chef died or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but regardless, it was because, those are the reasons they give. And they say, well, if it was something we would celebrate, it wouldn't be looked at in such a bad light in the Bible. And that's why you can't celebrate birthdays.
That makes me really sad. It makes me really sad for kids who are in school with other children who get cupcakes brought to the class for their birthday. I guess their parents wouldn't know if they had a cupcake, though, But I mean, in their mind, they were probably told, don't do that, and they're kids, so it's evil or whatever. And it makes me sad that on Christmas morning, little kids are excited, that Santa came and things like that. And it makes me really sad. But then again, that's all they know. And so I guess they can't miss what they've never had, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, for me personally, it was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
The only people in my family that are Jehovah's Witnesses are my mom, dad, and
true. Sister. Yeah.
Everyone else isn't. And some families, though, when their families are like that, some Jehovah's Witnesses, they won't really associate with their non-Jehovah's Witness family. But my family is very different in that aspect, where we would, very often, all the time. I mean, I used to live, when I lived in the Bronx, I lived, what was it, a block away from my grandparents, and we would be there all the time, and we would see my cousins very often. And, of course, when you go to your family's house, getting close to the holiday times, everybody has their decorations up.
Right.
The Christmas tree, the candy that's out, the presents that are under the tree, and all that stuff. So it's I've always kind of been and partially in the real world, and
partially not.
Yeah, partially not.
I got you.
So for me, it was like, yeah, I always felt like I was missing out because I wanted all of that. It's like, why can't I do this? Like, this is awesome. Even my cousin, I remember when I was a kid, even my cousins were like, they're like, man, if you could celebrate one holiday, which one would it be? I was like, Christmas, because it would be so awesome. I wish I could get gifts. And I like the lights and everything. I like the, I always loved it, even as a kid, because it's just such a, you know,
magical,
aesthetically. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a magical time.
Environment. Even now, people just put up string lights for no reason. I mean, I have string lights in my room just because I like lights.
Yeah, right. I hope that you have a Christmas tree up.
Not in my house again.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that...
I'm still living with my parents, so...
Dang it. Yeah. You know, though, I mean... I bet it is so hard for you because you love your parents, of course. And, you know, they could have completely shunned you and kicked you out on the street. But... Mm. They love you, and they did not. So,
I think the only reason for that, by the way, is because I'm not disfellowshipped. I think if I was, mm-hmm. things would be a lot different. I'm what's called inactive, so I just stopped going.
Right.
It's called fading, and I just stopped going to the meetings. I stopped all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and so they didn't really have a reason to disfellowship me because I just stopped.
Right. Okay.
And it's also a protection. From what I remember of the family to not be disfellowship. Because if I was, then I forget exactly what it is, but it's something with the father. Like just by default, if your son or whatever is disfellowship, then it somehow affects the father. I don't remember exactly, but there's a big difference between being inactive and then being disfellowshipped.
Yeah, and I'm gonna leave all of your YouTube, your YouTube channel down in the show notes. But have your parents seen any of your YouTube videos?
Oh no.
No.
If they did, I would probably get kicked out of my house, honestly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Because I'm apostatizing. I'm speaking out publicly against Jehovah's Witnesses. So that is a risk factor, too. I am taking a pretty big risk doing that.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know how they would stumble across it, but by some wild chance, if they were to,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I would be in some... deep shit. I would probably I feel like I really would get kicked out of my house, but they know how I feel though. They know how I feel about it. I'm very open about how I feel about it. So I guess it wouldn't be too much of a surprise, but at the same time I think it would be.
Yeah, like I do wish that they would, and maybe they do have some type of like assistance for, you know, for people who wouldn't have anywhere to go if they left the temple. No, Kingdom Hall. Kingdom Hall. Yeah, if they left the Kingdom Hall.
You can call it a church. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Okay, yeah, okay. But yeah, I wish that they would have some type of something to help people to leave and escape this. I know you love your parents, like I said. Do you wish, like, so badly that they would see all of these red flags and that they would leave themselves?
Oh, yeah. I've had, especially when I first left,
mm-hmm.
From the duration of when I left from 2017, pretty much all the way into the beginning of 2019, like, so many discussions, debates, arguments. So much. They even watched part of the Australian Royal Commission, which was the whole thing with the pedophilia.
That's what I was going to ask, if they knew about it.
Yeah, like I tried very hard, and there's nothing that will change their mind, especially my dad. I feel like honestly there really is a chance with my mom, but when it comes to my dad, there's just no shot.
Yeah, I know people personally, I know a mental health expert. She was a guest on the podcast. And, you know, there's ways that you have to approach people that you care about and people that you love, instead of being like, oh, you're in a cult, get out, you know, that, of course, they're going to be like, whoa, you know, there is specific ways that you approach it to like make them see the light themselves, because they're going to have to see it themselves. And then that's when they will leave, you know, but them seeing everything about the pedophilia, and they do believe it's happening, right?
Yeah, at first they didn't, because how the whole Australian Milk Commission thing is, when there was Jeffrey Jackson, it was like through video call, and she was like trying to find any little glitch to be like, oh, this was staged, this is fake. Like, at first she was saying that, and then after a while, like, from watching more of it, it's like, okay, this is obviously something that happened.
Right.
And I remember they were like super concerned. Mm-hmm. When it happened, they told me like that. I think both of them, they couldn't even sleep that night because it was so disturbing.
Oh wow.
But at the same time, there's I truly don't understand it, because if I did, I obviously would have left. But I don't know. There has to be some sort of something in the way for you to just deny something, to be like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not okay. This is not okay. I mean, they couldn't sleep at night knowing that this was going on. And if they know for a fact that the organization that they are with is hiding pedophilia, and for them to still stay, that just goes to show how deeply these cults impact people, you know, and that it is a cult.
Yeah, I want to say something really quick, because this, I forgot about this, and this just popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
That like indoctrination,
yeah,
goes so deep. Because I remember talking about it with them, the whole thing with the Australian Law Commission, and it really disturbed me, like, especially at the time, because, you know, you first hearing about it and everything, to the point where, like, I was in tears, like, talking to them about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, because my mom said to me, she was like, did anything happen to you when you were a kid? And I was like, because I was in tears, and it's like, no, but I'm like this because, imagine a child, like, they haven't even seen or experienced life yet, and they just had this horrible thing happen to them, and that is now going to mess them up forever. And that is a very hard thing to work through. And as it is, I know people who have been sexually assaulted, male and female, as kids, and it destroys your mental.
Right.
And the fact that you could look at it so lightly, you can just take it so lightly, is beyond me. I truly do not understand it.
I'm tearing up just like thinking about it. Like, I cannot. Oh gosh, it's so sad. And I don't know why, if people would stay. Well, I do. It's because it's a cult. And man, that just sucks so bad that, you know, this organization has brainwashed, you know, so many people to the point to where, you know, I mean, they don't, you know, they don't say it's okay to do this, you know it's wrong, but for them to, you know, stay, man, that is deep.
Yeah.
That is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's what's, and that was also a big eye opener to me. Mm-hmm. Was just seeing like just how deep it goes, to where it's like you'll take something like that so lightly,
right?
Like a child's life,
right?
So And it's like, you had kids, you know what it's like to have children.
Right.
And you did everything you could to protect your child. Like, I don't get it. Like, it is something it truly, like, boggles my mind. I said, like, a million times, I just don't get it.
Yeah. And I don't get it either. The only thing that I can think of, and I'm probably right, is, you know, the indoctrination and how they probably truly believe that they're, you know, they're not going to heaven if they leave this church. They probably believe that. You know,
that's the whole thing with it. Because I remember when I left, they were saying, because we were having a discussion, my mom was like, I just want to be with my family in the new world. Like, that's all I want. Like, I want to live in paradise with my whole family. So it's like, it has a very deep emotional connection, especially with my dad, since he lost his mom a while ago, and he loves his mom, and that's one of the things he's very much looking forward to, is being with his mom again. Like, when he looks at a picture of her, he starts crying. Like, that's how much he loves her. So it's like, especially with that, the whole new world thing, and seeing dead loved ones again, especially if you've lost, like, your child or something.
Oh my gosh, I know. That
very, very deep emotional connection to giving you this guaranteed hope that you will see this person again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And live with them forever.
And see, and his mom, your grandma, like, she was a Jehovah's Witness. She wasn't a Jehovah's Witness, right? So
I think she was. I don't remember if she was or not. I can't remember if she ever got that far, but I think she was. Mm-hmm. But I never saw her much. I never saw her much at all. I saw her once when I was very, 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 very young, like probably 3 or 4. I don't even remember it, but apparently I saw her at one point in time.
Yeah, and, you know, in the Bible, because I'm a Christian, and I grew up being a Christian, and, you know, we go by the Bible, and in the Bible, it clearly states heaven and hell, but they don't, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell, right? So, what Bible are they using?
So they look at hell, so this is the thing about religions, they pick and choose what is literal and what is metaphorical.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason, they take heaven as being literal and hell as being metaphorical. So hell meaning it's just eternal death. You just die and that's it.
You just die. And like there's nothing?
Yeah, there's nothing. Like you're just dead.
Wow. So like your spirit goes nowhere. Your spirit's dead and your body's dead.
No, you don't have a spirit. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the soul.
You don't have a soul?
No,
okay. I've never heard that.
Yeah, most people have it. It's surprising. Wow. Most people, they're like, what?
But
so you're probably wondering then, how is there a group of people that go to heaven then if you don't have a soul?
Right. How? So
pretty much you're just remade.
Remade to a new person? Or like it looks like you, okay. Huh. That's interesting. Wow. Yeah. Okay. But doesn't the Bible talk about your soul?
It does. And it's funny because I remember when I left, so I stopped going to meetings. And after when you stop going to meetings, obviously people are going to notice. And so when somebody stops going and stuff like that, they have what's called a shepherding call. So they'll have either two elders or an elder and what's called a ministerial servant come to your house and visit you and pretty much check up on you, and they'll end up reading a bunch of scriptures to you and stuff. And I remember at the end of that, I was like, he's like, do you have any questions and this and that? I was like, yeah, I actually do. Because there's a verse in the Bible, I don't remember exactly what it was, where I think it was Paul. He says, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. And I brought that up to them, and I was like, what is he talking about here when he's saying he doesn't know whether he's in the body or out of the body? Because to me, I didn't say this part, but to me, that is saying he's pretty much describing an out-of-body experience. But how do you have this crazy out-of-body experience if you don't have a soul?
Right.
Spirit.
Right.
So I brought that up to him. I was like, what is he talking about here when he's saying, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body? And he's like, I actually don't know. I would have to, he's like, you should look at the Watchtower Online Library, and there's something about that. I was like, I remember looking it up, and I didn't really see anything on this at all. So I'm wondering if you would know. And he's like, I had absolutely no idea what that was about.
Man.
But, because I'm personally not a Christian. I don't believe in Christianity, personally. And that's just me. Like, no, I don't mean to offend at all.
You don't offend me. I have really good friends who are agnostic and atheist, and we are super close. So I respect them 100%.
Mm-hmm. And I respect Christians too, because I have some friends that are Christians. But I was just trying to be like, you know, there's this the whole idea of the soul is so clearly in the Bible, yet they just I don't understand that whole reasoning really. They pick and choose, like I said, they pick and choose what is literal and what is metaphorical. So when it talks about the soul and the spirit, when it's talking about a person, it's as if they're talking about their being, that person, that soul. Like that's what they think it means.
Right. And so Jehovah's Witnesses actually identify as Christians though. And that's what I'm like, what? Because every Christian I know, you know, they believe in hell and heaven. They don't believe this, you know, and they don't, you know, like pick and choose out of the Bible what's, you know, real and what's, you know, like you were saying, and they celebrate Christmas, they celebrate birthdays and all that. What this is a man made this up, you know. I personally wouldn't classify them, knowing what I know, as Christians, and this is my own personal opinion, just because, and even some Christians that I would say are Christians, they do this, they are very hypocritical, and people should not judge, but they do, and I know no one's perfect. But, you know, also with this, you know, to shun someone for not believing the same things, that is, it's a control mechanism. And, you know, okay, so this is, in my opinion, this is a cult. And, you know, they have a lot of money. Okay, so I mean, and of course they get to their kingdom halls are, you know, I'm sure 501c3, they don't have to pay out, you know, same taxes or anything like that. So there's so much money, like they have billions of dollars, and they have so much money that they are covering up for people who have sexually assaulted, raped, and for straight up pedophiles. You cannot say that you are a Christian when you are covering up for pedophilia and for people who have sexually assaulted people. I mean, that's what blows my mind even more so. I mean, how, you know, and the judgment in people to shun, you know, they have so much money. They are controlling people in every way, shape, or form. They are discrediting education, you know, just furthering themselves in life, getting a decent job, getting a good, you know, career. There's just so much, and I don't see how they identify as Christians. But
because there's nothing
right.
Christian about them.
Right. But and
that's the thing though, is they have that view towards everyone else though. Like everyone else who calls themselves Christian, they're not true Christians. Wow. They're just because they're in Satan's world. They're in the churches of Christendom, as they call it.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're.
But how can they save Satan if there's no hell?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Satan's in hell, right? So, but there is no hell. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff. Satan is on earth. Satan and his demons there on earth. So when that great war in heaven happened and God cast down the demons to the earth, and Satan and all of his demons, they're banned to the earth and they're no longer allowed in heaven. They're really just on the earth at all times, constantly around you, to the point where they're always watching you. Not only is, you know, Jehovah and his angels watching you, but also Satan and his demons are watching you. They coexist with you at all times.
But, man, I don't know.
In this spirit realm on earth.
Man. All right, so with this Watchtower magazine, it's a lot, man.
It is.
I have questions. I hate that, you know, your parents are still involved in this, you know, and for them to have all of this, money, and yet I'm sure they still donate to the church, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So with the Watchtower magazine, like, what is that exactly? Just a magazine for.
It's two things. So they have two different Watchtower versions. They have the study version, which is what you go over on the weekend meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much paragraphs that you read, and there's questions at the bottom. And that's what you study on Sunday. So mm-hmm. there's a public talk on Sunday, and then there's what they call the Watchtower study, and you study this magazine, which is it goes over a bunch of different things. Like it could go over, it's like, okay, we're gonna go over the story of Paul today, or the story of Abraham or Samson or whatever it may be. We're gonna go over that biblical event and pretty much analyzes it. There's a bunch of their own JW hand on everything, their whole interpretation of it. Pretty much it's an indoctrination session. It's a learning session.
And, yeah.
You would have to just to read it. You can find it on, I think it's on their website. If it's not on their website, it's on their app. They have a JW app, and you can download all of their study magazines on there. Hmm. So, but that's what the Watchtower study magazine, and then the public version is for when they go preaching. So when they go preaching, they used to have a Watchtower and then they used to have an Awake. They had both. They're pretty much the same thing. I didn't really know the difference. Honestly, even when I was younger, it was just two different magazines, two different topics. Like one will be like, can there really be peace on earth? It'll say that on the front of it. And they'll go door to door and preach with this magazine and be like, can there really be peace on earth? And then we'll go through it, and there's a bunch of Bible verses in there and this and that. And that's to, you know, recruit people.
I would actually love for someone to come to my house. No one ever comes to my house, but if one does come to my house, I'm going to ask them about the pedophilia. I'm going to ask them about everything. And, I mean, they're probably going to run from me. I mean, that's okay.
I was just about to say, they're probably going to leave.
I mean, but maybe they don't know about it. Who knows? But they probably do.
Yeah.
So is the headquarters for the Jehovah's Witnesses, is it in, I'm trying to think. So where was it initially? Was it in Brooklyn initially, or is it still there?
I think it was initially in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Walk Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's Warwick. Their official world headquarters is in Warwick now. And that was a recent, recent thing that happened.
All right. So I just looked this up. So there is a 1.6 million square foot Jehovah's Witnesses world headquarters. This is in Sterling Forest, it says, though. But what gets me...
Be Warwick. It should be in Warwick, that Sterling Forest place. Okay. In Warwick, New York.
Okay. All right. And
it is huge. Like, I passed by.
I am looking at the pictures. Massive. It's crazy. So this was a volunteer effort. 25,000 people came together to construct this place.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteer, mind you. Yeah. And they have billions of dollars, but this was a volunteer effort.
Yep. That's how they built all of their stuff. Their kingdom halls, their assembly halls.
From volunteers.
Vessels they have.
Yeah, so they couldn't volunteers. Even employ people. Oh my gosh, dude. This is not good.
Yeah, I think they did possibly hire some non-Jehovah's Witnesses.
For the electrical?
For certain things.
Or something. I mean, is that like what they were worried? Like somebody may get hurt, like doing the electric. So they wanted to, I don't know. But
probably. But for the most part, it's like 99% volunteers.
So where is all this?
A lot of Jehovah's Witnesses are in construction. A lot of them are.
Oh.
So that's how they have so many construction workers.
Yeah. Where is all of this money, these billions of dollars? What is it going towards? Their pamphlets? Like, I mean, what's it going? Who's getting this money?
Well, that's the big question.
Yeah, because someone has some thick pockets, I promise.
Oh, yeah. The 8 governing body members, they have all the money.
Wow. And
obviously, some of that money does go into making all the literature and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't cost that much.
It definitely does not cost that much.
Yeah.
And but this is what they tell the Jehovah's Witnesses, is that it's going towards all the literature.
There's no way. The
Kingdom Hall building, to the disaster relief work that they only do for other Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Only real Christian of them. Real Christian of them.
Their disaster relief work.
Wow.
The missionaries that they have. That go to different countries.
Yeah, it's still not equaling to billions, though. And
it would still never amount.
It would never equal to billions. And I do know a large sum is going to protect these files for the people who have been sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because, you know, with enough money, you can hide a lot. But... Yeah. I want to know who is at the tippy top. Like, I'm acting like this is my MLM episode. Who's at the very tippy top of this to where, I don't know, man, I don't know. So, like, let's say that one of the members, I guess that's what you call members, can't pay their electric bill 1 month. Would they, like, pay their electric bill for them?
No.
No? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you're on your own. Like, if something happens to you, I mean, that's on you.
You know, I think that there should be a change.org, petition that goes around, and people need to sign it to say, hey, some of this money needs to go towards people that are trying to leave the cult, and you're going to pay for their housing. Because I know it sounds like that would never happen, but with X amount of signatures, they have to bring that to Washington. It has to go in front of the Senate in Washington. It has to. So with enough signatures, if enough, you know, people who want to leave this organization sign this, then it can go in front of Congress.
Yeah, that's honestly a great idea.
Yeah, I think that That should happen.
That's not the first time I've heard. That's not the first time I've heard that idea. I forget where else I heard it from, mm-hmm. but it really is a great idea considering so much of us don't have the education, don't have the necessary skills in every aspect of life, not just like jobs, but like the social skills, like so much that we don't have, and especially a lot of younger people leave, like people my age and people who are teenagers end up leaving, and to be stuck in your home, and on top of that, the mental damage it's done, it's so hard. It's so hard.
And that's why they should be paying for therapy and mm-hmm. training to get them skills. And I mean, there's so much good that money could go to instead of somebody just pocketing it. And they need to do something because it's awful. It's awful. You know, and I feel like nobody can go up against these people because they have so much money. But mm-hmm. with enough signatures or even just to try to go in front of the Senate, something, I don't know, but something has to give Actually, so in 2016, if you gather 100,000 signatures in 30 days, then they'll review the petition. But that was in 2016. So it has probably changed since then. But yeah, man, I do hope that your parents leave one day. Hopefully soon. And I hope that, you know, you can have a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever you go visit your other family during Christmas, if you're going to do that, I mean, you can let them know that they can go ahead and get you presents.
You know, I have the past few years, I have gone over for like Thanksgiving, Christmas and stuff like
that. Oh, good.
Presents and whatnot. What's funny about that too is always around Christmas time when me and my sister were younger, not on Christmas, but like a little close, maybe a few weeks before, my mm-hmm. grandparents would randomly give us gifts.
Yeah.
Around that time. Like they would just be like, oh, well, we bought you this just because we wanted to.
Right.
But in all actuality, they did it because they know we're not able to celebrate it. And my grandma has always been very, very against. I mean, my whole family, the whole rest of my family is very much against Jehovah's Witnesses, especially my aunt and uncle on mm-hmm. my mom's side, because they're Christian.
Right. I don't know
what denomination they are exactly, but they're Christian, and they, you know, they see through the bullshit pretty much.
Yeah.
They know what it is.
Have you asked them to talk to your mom?
They have, like, so many times. Like,
oh.
My mom has talked to my aunt plenty of times in person, on the phone.
Is your mom's parents still alive?
Oh, just my grandma.
Has your grandma talked to her about this?
Yeah. Like I said, they've talked to them plenty of times before.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Trying to talk to Jehovah's Witness is like literally like talking to
a brick wall.
Yeah. Like nothing will.
Yeah.
Actually, nothing.
I completely understand that because majority of my podcast is about people in multi-level marketing networks. And even though I have facts and, you know, proof that these are cults, they, you know, they have to be ready to leave or they are going to lose a lot of money. And then they'll see, you know, that they were being scammed. So, but yeah, so I do understand it from that point, and they do have to be ready. But if you feel like your mom is kind of maybe going to get there, then you know that'd be a huge step, because then, you know, if she does leave, then your dad may very well follow. Who Who knows? But I do hope that they definitely see the light, for sure. Yeah,
I feel like there really is a chance with my mom, because she is very surprisingly open-minded about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And simply because, like, I don't know why she's open-minded, but she doesn't deny when there's overwhelming evidence of something.
Yeah, that's great. That's a huge thing. That's huge. Are you the only child?
No, I have a sister.
Okay. Is your sister involved still?
Yeah. I say it like that because, like, I truly don't know what her stance is on it. Uh-huh. I can just tell by looking at her that she's uninterested. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the only reason she is the fear aspect of it, the same reason I was.
Yeah.
Fear.
And yeah.
Yeah, I'll say it. So she, I think with her, I'm not sure if I should say it. It's nothing bad. It's just, God forbid if this ever gets discovered, but whatever. It's going to happen at some point anyways. But so pretty much she has a boyfriend, mm-hmm. who's not a Jehovah's Witness, which is something you are not supposed to do,
okay.
at all. You cannot date anybody. Man. You can't marry anybody. You can't even really have friends who are not Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, no.
Let alone date somebody or marry somebody who's not a Jehovah's Witness. That is something you just don't do. And she's had this boyfriend for, like, 3 years. And on top of that, they dated back in high school. And she got caught back in high school, and that was a shit show. Well, she didn't get caught, actually. She actually brought him over to my house and asked my parents if she could date him, and my dad was like, no. But it's crazy. But yeah, so they, I guess, rekindled that relationship, mm-hmm. back in 2018. And yeah, so
that's a long time to be keeping a secret like that.
Yeah,
it's a really long time.
I have suspicions that my mom knows about it, because, like, he told me, or her boyfriend, he told me that she asked him, or she asked her rather, straight up, like, "Are you dating Nathan?" Yeah, that's his name, by the way. He just said it. "Are you dating Nathan?" She's like, "No." And then she came back. I don't know. So I have a feeling, because my mom is weird. So back when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend, and they ended up finding out about it, mm-hmm. but they didn't tell me right away. They tried to, like, get it out of me, like, have me admitted or something like that or whatever. But they knew about it, which is weird that you would try to. I don't know.
They wanted to see if you're going to do the quote unquote right thing or not. And tell on yourself.
That's so, because my dad, on the other hand, if he were to know something like that, that would not fly. So I feel like he has absolutely no idea. He would, yeah, there's no possible way he would ever let something like that fly.
Man.
But I have suspicions.
She's out of the house now, right?
No, she's still here.
Okay.
I think she's waiting at some point in time to move out with him. I don't know. I know it's going to happen very soon, because what he told me was, he's like, I'm going to ask her to marry me in April, because that's when they first started dating again, April 2018. Mm-hmm. So this upcoming April.
Oh, man.
He's going to ask her, and he's like, and. Well. He's telling me this. He's like, and she's. He's like, and there's no way I'm gonna hide a marriage. Like,
right.
When we get married, like, this is something that has to be. He's like, I'm not. He's like, I'm just not gonna keep it a secret from your parents. He's like, and you shouldn't even be doing that.
Right.
At that age, she's a few years older than me, and he's like, and I don't want that in my life. And I'm like, yeah, rightly so. Like,
yeah.
I agree with you. Like, I think just as it is now, she shouldn't be hiding it or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, she doesn't have a place to live. I mean, I guess she could go live with him. She doesn't want to disappoint them, you know, because she, you know, she Yeah, she just doesn't want to disappoint them. And mm-hmm. I can see that, but, you know, I'm sure she knows about the allegations, and actually not even just allegations, but the whole cover-up thing as well. Mm-hmm. And she knows it's not right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and so I take it he's not going to ask your dad for her hand in marriage or anything crazy like that, because he would be like, oh, no. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can take you in or something. I don't know. But hopefully they will definitely see the light soon, sooner rather than later. And I know that you have so many very in-depth YouTube videos on this. And I encourage everyone who's listening right now to go check it out. I have it linked in the show notes down below. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
I want to thank Max for coming on. I really and truly appreciate him sharing his story with us. I think it's so important. And like I said, check out his YouTube channel, subscribe, go show him some love. I really appreciate everyone listening. And of course, he is always welcome back on the show. Everyone have a great rest of the day and a great rest of the week. Thanks for listening.